This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. And Matt, lots of news today around this game that the Steelers are going to play on Sunday night against the Cleveland Browns. Of course, our ongoing coverage of the Steelers playoff run brought to you by Ford and FedEx. And I don't even know which ones to get to first because there's so much of it out there. But I guess we'll start with the fact that the state has decided that it will not allow fans.
Yeah,
for this game.
A bummer, isn't it?
There's no rhyme or reason for this.
I don't understand it at all.
None.
It's a big building.
York opened up Buffalo. Like, the Bills are going to have fans in their stadium for the first time all season long when they host their game this weekend.
Yeah.
But somehow it's somehow unsafe to allow more than 2,500 people in the stadium. It's just ridiculous.
You could have spread it out so easily too, and it's
people
already been done.
Remember this when you vote.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get political here, but my God. I mean, just stupid.
Nuts. And I mean, it would make for a better environment. Everything would be better if there were people in there. And I really don't.
2 months ago, we had. It didn't have to be a full stadium.
No, I'm not even.
Open it back
that.
Up to what it was.
A couple thousand.
A month ago.
Out so little.
Putting 5,500 people in that stadium again is going to actually, spread COVID somehow.
I know.
It's ridiculous.
I know. And again, it's not worth fighting over, and it is a political issue apparently, but. It impacts the game. I mean, it's not fair to the fans who, want to get tickets and bought season tickets in anticipation.
Had already bought
things.
Their tickets,
right,
yeah.
Right, exactly.
We're making plans to go. All this does, this is what this does. So all, those fans who were going to go to the game obviously are big fans. They wanted these.
Of course.
So what are they going to do now? They're going to have Steeler parties.
Right.
Because they can't go to a bar either to watch the game because it's a night game. And under our state's rules, you have to be out of the bar by 10 o'clock because apparently COVID spreads more
when
so
it's dark out
when
whatever.
It's dark out.
Right.
So you're forcing people to have people over to their house to have to have parties because there's no way that's not going to happen, right?
All right,
come
of
on.
Course. I mean,
it's ridiculous.
Think about the ramifications. Anyway, I mean, so it's going to make for a worse environment, and we got more COVID news coming.
This is the first
Cleveland.
Year, by the way, that teams did not in NFL history, that teams did not have a winning record at home.
Oh yeah, right. I saw as of about week 15, it was even.
It was even.
Yeah.
Well, they lost more than they.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess that adds up. I mean, I know like the bettors and the bookmakers had a hard time. Figuring that out early in the year, but the reality was travel doesn't bother these guys much. It's fans. I really believe that.
Yeah, so, I think...
I think it's nuts.
I think it's crazy. In the decade of the 2010, in that decade, home teams won 56.7% of the time. This year, home teams were 127, 128, and 1.
Huh.
What was the difference?
That's a big deal.
That's a huge deal.
Right.
Huge deal.
Yeah, and I'm sure travel's kind of hard on their bodies, but planes in the situations are so much better than they were in the 70s. And, these guys are very used to it, to your point. And, medicine and everything's so much better. It's the crowd noise. I mean, the crowd noise and the environment is the huge home field advantage. Weather aside.
That's why they call it a home field advantage.
Exactly. The inability to hear and those type of things. I'm sure it's been very strange on all the players, but that stuff's real. I mean, all you fans listening, you impact games.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're not gonna be there this week.
There's a reason why when you go to Seattle and they have the in Kansas City.
Sure.
They have the meters on there, when the
domes,
other team has has the ball. Hey, get loud and
mm-hmm.
We got 145 decibels at them. I can tell you, those are real.
In the left,
I've been in those buildings
when
that noise has been that loud.
Mm-hmm. But even a couple thousand would be advantageous to the Steelers.
Absolutely. And these guys, you play the game because it's fun. But I, having played sports my entire life, I can't. I mean, you feed off the crowd.
Sure.
You know, you feed off that energy, and if there's no energy there, you know, what do you feed?
What reward do I get for getting home field advantage?
Yeah.
Not much.
It's
hardly anything. Yeah. Different. A bus ride in this case.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
A bus ride.
Yeah, a bus ride.
Other news today. The Browns had two more players test positive today. These are a little bit different, though, from the previous positive tests in that the NFL, through contact tracing, et cetera, has figured out that these were these two tests, including Ronnie Harrison, who started the last week's game at safety for them, tested positive because they came in contact with the virus in the team facility.
So how does that – it doesn't mean they're positive, right?
No, they're positive.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. So, wow. So they're out this game and longer.
Yes.
For sure.
And they got it in the facility whether it be off a surface, whether it be from another player.
Okay.
But at
least they know where they got the, where it was transmitted.
Well, the previous ones, when the Browns were testing positive before, it was because, you know, through contact tracing, they were able to figure out that they had, it was outside the facility.
Mm-hmm.
At home, whether they, you know, wherever it might be. In this case, it was different. And so
you shut down the facility.
The facility was shut down yesterday. It's been shut down all day today. The Browns are not practicing for this game. Baker Mayfield told reporters today he has not thrown a football all week long. Now, people
them. I'm just saying, wow, what crazy times.
Yeah. People say, well, Ben Roethlisberger needs to practice Wednesdays. The Browns may not have a practice this week.
They may not have a practice this week. Do you think there's any chance it gets bumped?
To where?
I mean, Monday night.
They can't. They can't. They cannot do that. It upsets the apple cart in terms. If the Steelers
the
win,
it's a short week.
The Steelers play. If they win this game, the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills play Saturday. They've already gotten an extra day.
Assuming the Bills win.
Yeah,
but right.
Assuming they win.
Yeah.
But so the Bills already get an extra day of prep.
Yeah, I think it's. I think you got to play it no matter what. All the playoff games. I mean, maybe you could bump the Super Bowl. I mean, there's too much stuff in it.
Let's say they decide, hey, we can't play any games this week because the Browns can't play. Because you can't play some of the games this week and some of the games next week.
No, right. It's all
can't
or nothing.
Do that. It's all or nothing.
Right.
And all of a sudden now during that next week, there's an outbreak with another team.
Sure.
Which is certainly possible. You can't continue to kick the can down the,
well,
down the line on this. And if you say, okay, we're gonna move these games back. We're not gonna play this week. We're gonna move everything back to next week. Now you're the Kansas City Chiefs. And you're sitting there going, wait a second.
We haven't played 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Right.
If we'd have known that was gonna happen, if there was a possibility that was gonna happen, we wouldn't have sat Mahomes the last week of the season.
Throwing the football once in a while, or right, or we'd have practiced differently, or of course. No, I think it would have to be, to your point, it would have to be extreme. Like this isn't enough.
There would have to be multiple positive tests. Going
on
into Saturday. Saturday morning, four more guys go on the COVID list for something like that to happen.
I mean, if this was a Sunday or Saturday game, I could see bumping it to Sunday.
Right.
I mean, that would
be fine. That's the window that you have. But this is the Sunday night game. You know, the guys who test, if they're going to get tested before they get on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
When they arrive, Sunday morning, they're going to get tested again. If they're negative, you're gonna play the game, and I understand that you don't want a situation where they're passing the virus to the Steelers, but
of course, right?
That we haven't seen any cases of that happening yet.
No, it doesn't seem to have gone team to team.
Again, they're tracing
yet,
these.
Right.
Okay, who did you have contact with? Well, we can figure it out. This is where you got it.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff. We haven't seen a single case yet where it's been passed on the field. But
no.
If I'm the Steelers, I'm being, after that game last Sunday, we saw guys go up and,
shake each other.
None of that. I'll give you a good wave from, across the field and have a nice offseason.
Yeah, and I am a little concerned still that the Steelers aren't out of the woods either, since they played them last week.
Yeah.
And hey, I mean, they're not far geographically from here either, and if it's heavy in Cleveland, it's probably heavy in Pittsburgh. It really upsets – I feel bad for the Browns because they finally make the postseason and now they're really hamstrung by something basically out of their hands, a pandemic, obviously. It's rough. And so who do we know is out? Stefanski, well, they've got, Betonio,
they've got Harrison. Seven players on the list now. And again, it's difficult to figure these kind of things out. It's the Steelers activated today, Eric Ebron and Cassius Marsh.
Yeah.
They were close contacts with Joe Haden. Joe Haden will not play this week. But we don't know because the league doesn't announce this because it's not really allowed to announce it's a HIPAA violation. Who amongst their guys are close contacts and who are positive tests, but we can kind of guess by the guy by the way that how long they're on the list. If
yeah,
they test
right. We know who's on the list, but we don't know the specifics.
So right now on their list is Joel Bitonio, Harrison Bryant, the tight end. Ronnie Harrison went on
there today. Harrison Bryant plays a lot.
Yeah. Kadarryl Hodge, who went on earlier this week. Cornerback Kevin Johnson, linebacker Malcolm Smith, cornerback Denzel Ward.
Wow. And Ward's still on.
Still on, yeah.
Wow.
If you test positive, you have to be on the list at least 10 days.
Okay. And he hasn't been he can get off before kickoff though.
Well, he wouldn't be eligible, I don't believe, to get off the list until Sunday morning.
Okay. And that's assuming everything goes
swimmingly. That's assuming everything goes swimmingly. Are you going to run him out there for a playoff game?
Right, when that's the other thing.
It's not like Baker Mayfield says he hasn't thrown a football because they haven't practiced this week. How much running is Denzel Ward able to do sitting around his
Baker
house?
Baker at least played on Sunday.
Yeah.
Not to mention, I mean, even with extremely high-end 1% athletes, it seems to hit people different. Like Miles Garrett said, it beat me up. I think Lamar Jackson said, hey, I didn't get over it super easy. Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Some guys seem like they're fine. You know, I mean,
it just depends on the individual.
Right.
And you don't know. So we don't know. Denzel Ward may be, I hope not for his sake, but he may be bedridden right now for all we know.
Right. He may not. I mean, even if it's just a normal illness, if he's getting over the flu-like symptoms, maybe he's been dehydrated or doesn't have the energy. It's hard to play corner for 60 minutes.
Yeah. You do have to do a little bit of running.
Wow, so, and then it sounds like they're going to definitely be without a handful of guys, though.
And, no doubt about it. And again, this is if nobody else goes on. So I don't know.
This is all pretty new.
The straight answer, we just don't know who is going to be available and who's not. I mean, maybe some of those one or two of those guys come off the COVID list. But again, you're not practicing.
You're not practicing. You're not preparing for. At least you prepared for this team a week ago. I mean, as a team, and it's a familiar opponent. It's not Tennessee or Indy or somebody like that, but man, that's a huge disadvantage. I mean, I don't know how else to even say it. I mean, I just hope there's no more, but man, they're going to be so light in the secondary. They already lost Olivier Vernon. I mean, the offensive line, which is probably their greatest strength, is now, you know, a little compromised as well. It's rough.
It is, and so we'll see how this continues to develop, and hopefully. Hopefully we don't have any new news on this tomorrow when we do our show, but that's not good news for Cleveland. They're up against it here.
They really are.
I know there are people in Cleveland saying they need to move this game, they need to cancel this, postpone this game. They can't.
You just can't. I mean, if this was happening to the Steelers, I'm sure a lot of people listening would be like, if you put yourself in their shoes, I'm sure you'd be saying the same things. Because it really is climbing uphill to try to win this game now, but I just don't know how you do it. I don't know how.
I tweeted it out last week. After Alvin Kamara went on the COVID list, like if people didn't think that COVID was going to affect the 2020 NFL playoffs, they were under a rock the entire season.
You heard so many times, and you heard this, during that Washington Philly game, we got the 256. We got them all in. Yay! I can't believe we did it. Who thought we could? Well, that doesn't mean you finished the race is still going.
We're coming down the home stretch now, and you could still stumble.
You could still stumble when it matters most.
Yeah,
right.
And so it's not time to spike the football just yet.
No. Hopefully, this is the end of it. But man, I mean, what if it's Super Bowl time? Anything we hear from now on is going to be worse than this, even. It'll be even bigger ramifications.
I mean, this is the week of the playoffs that you really can't move.
Right.
You could move.
You could probably do the other ones.
Yeah. I mean, again, you'd have the situation with Kansas City and Green Bay. Green Bay really didn't rest anybody, though, because they needed to win that last game.
Right.
But, if you get through this week and games, have a similar situation next week, well, you've only got three more weeks of scheduling left to do. And the NFL,
a little bit of
the NFL has rented out the stadium in Tampa for a month after.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They reserved it for a month after the Super Bowl is going to be played.
So Garth Brooks is coming around.
Yeah, you can adjust that. Mm-hmm. But you have to get this first weekend because, again,
I could see them kind of sticking at the Steelers and playing Monday night.
I
think that's unfair.
That would be complete and utter horse crap, to be quite honest.
I totally agree, but I could see that happening. That wouldn't blow me away.
At this point, I don't know what another day would buy you.
True.
I mean, because unless Saturday morning, the Browns get up Saturday morning, they take their tests, and seven guys test positive. Mm-hmm. But in that case, you don't want to play the game Monday even. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, that doesn't.
That doesn't help anything. Yeah.
Either. Right. Yeah. I mean, remember Bob was pretty unhappy about this, but the Ravens kind of protested saying, hey, we want to practice. And they got away with it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if they're clean from this point on, could they say, hey, we really want to practice Saturday. Let's bump it to Monday. I would tell them no.
I mean, the league set the precedent with the Ravens stuff.
I say, but they kind of already have done this.
Yeah. So, and I don't know if that was a factor at all why that game was played.
Right.
We don't know the exact details,
of course.
But certainly, if that were the case, and the Browns said, "Hey, we want to have a practice," mm-hmm. And the league said no, I said, "Well, wait a second. You let the Ravens do it."
Right. I mean, that would be my argument.
Yeah.
If I was
that doesn't mean they're going to accept that.
No, it doesn't. But boy, they are in a bind.
And they're way behind. Yeah. And they're willing to make a deal.
Yeah. I mean, frankly, I thought, and this isn't trying to be too Steeler biased, I mean, if both teams were 100%, I thought they were in a bind.
Yeah.
With coaches and everything, you know, just entire. If it wasn't COVID at all, I would thought they were, you know, an uphill climb here.
Yeah, this is just not a good situation. But we're going to take a break, come back and talk about something else. You know, we'll figure something out. But he is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to our ongoing coverage here on Steelers Nation Radio. The Steelers playoff run is brought to you by Ford and FedEx. We'll be right back after this.
You're tuned to The Drive on your 24/7 home of the black and gold. Steelers Nation Radio.
Matt Williamson, our ongoing coverage here on Steelers Nation Radio, brought to you by Ford and FedEx. And Matt, I was doing some research here, and this comes as no super big surprise, but turnovers are going to be a major factor in these playoffs. Mm-hmm. Whether you turn the ball over, whether you don't turn the ball over, whether you take the ball away. But I did think it was interesting. Of the 16 teams that finished the season with a positive turnover rate this year, 11 made the playoffs, including all of the AFC, all seven of the AFC playoff teams finished with a positive turnover
and
ratio.
And one hand washes the other with that. You know, I mean, you win. I mean, that helps you win. But it's amazing how unbelievably telling that stat is.
It's such a predictive thing.
Right, right.
I went back over the last 2 years in the playoffs, and this didn't happen at all. The teams that won the turnover battle last year in the postseason were 4-0. Teams going back to 2018, if you won the turnover battle, you were since 2018 playoffs 7-3 record. If you win the turnover battle, 12 games finished even, and those three, you rarely win, especially against a good opponent.
Yeah, that's the thing, is once you start getting against good opponents too. I mean, minus one versus plus one is
huge.
A huge deal.
Huge.
I mean, you steal a possession, often with good starting field position on that possession. It's massive. And valuing the football while being able to create big plays is a fine art that's not easy to do. But, you know, it's been one of the keys to Steelers' success, too. I mean, they've been really good at taking the ball away. I don't think that's accidental. Sometimes I think takeaways can be luck, but I think there's something to be said for being fast, having a good pass rush. You know, there's some things that attribute to that. And then on, you know, giveaways are very much in your own power.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know, right.
The Steelers had 11 games this year where they had two or more takeaways.
Wow.
They finished 10-1 in those games. They had four games where they didn't take the football away at all.
Mm-hmm.
They were 1-3.
Wow. Amazing.
With the one win being down in Tennessee, you could say, well, a couple of those turnovers were, you know, kind of.
Yeah.
But.
I mean, I'm even thinking about, like, some of the non-playoff teams. Like, Miami really doesn't have a very good roster, and they just missed.
But they led the league in turnovers.
They were at the top of the league in turnovers, and that, you know, why. They had a lot of hidden yardage stuff for Miami that kept them, you know, and turnovers being the top of the list. The Cowboys and the Patriots, surprisingly, the Patriots, the first month, 6 weeks of the season were
awful.
Atrocious.
Yeah, awful.
I mean, Dallas was, like, historically bad. And both those teams ended up with, what, 6 or 7 wins or whatever after being totally in the hole. I mean, after totally buried. And they corrected that problem a little bit. I mean, it just shows how important they are.
The Browns had 7 games this season in which they didn't force a turnover.
Okay.
They were +5 for the season, so they were one of those teams that were in the positive. 7 games this year where they didn't force a turnover, they were 3-4 in those games.
Wow.
When they forced a turnover, or when they, I'm sorry, when they didn't turn the ball over themselves, they were 5-0.
Wow. I mean, you talk about coaching points, and what do you think Stefanski drills in their head every day? You know, can't turn the ball over, guys. Can't, hey, Baker, don't turn the ball over, you know.
And so I also went back and looked at a couple of some of the teams that have won the Super Bowl that you wouldn't necessarily have thought, well, that was a Super Bowl team going into the playoffs.
Okay.
For example, the 2012 Ravens started the year 9-2. People forget that team lost 4 of its final 5 games going into the postseason
year.
So they finished 10-6, and everybody credits Joe Flacco for, wow, he was outstanding in the playoffs. That Ravens defense that year, they were 12th in the league in scoring defense. They were for the Ravens, they were a below-average Ravens defense.
Okay.
But the one thing that they did was take the football away. They had 35 takeaways that
year.
Yeah,
I remember that. You wanted that fantasy defense, and, you know, that was
huge. In the playoffs that year, they had a 10-4 turnover ratio.
10-4. Wow. I mean, it gets really good teams, too.
Yeah.
Wow.
The 2011 Giants, if you remember, they lost 5 of 6 games at midseason to go fall to 9-7 and then won their last 2 games to finish 9-7 and get into the playoffs.
As a wild card team.
As the wild card. Eli Manning, like Flacco, got hot in the playoffs. He threw 9 touchdown passes and 1 interception. They didn't run the ball at all. They finished dead last in the league that year in rushing at 89.2 yards per game.
But they didn't turn the ball over.
They had a 7-1 turnover. They had 31 takeaways in the regular season and a 7-1 turnover ratio in the playoffs.
Wow. I mean, there's a massive playoff, you know, postseason.
You're talking about playing 4 games there and you're +6 in 4 games.
I mean, look no further than Ravens, you know, they're previewing Ravens Titans right here. Remember last year? I mean, there was 3 or 4 times they didn't get a 4th down. They had 3 turnovers. Like, forget about it. It's over, you know?
Yeah, the last one I wanted to mention was the 2015 Broncos. And you remember that's Peyton Manning's last year. He and Brock Osweiler combined to throw 19 touchdowns and 23 interceptions during the regular season.
Wow.
They were bad.
Really bad, right?
Really bad. The defense was outstanding, you know, but in the playoffs that year, the Broncos' defense forced 7 turnovers. The Broncos turned it over just 3 times themselves.
Wow.
And that included the game, if you remember, that first game that they played that year because they were the 2 seed. The first game that they played that year, what did they beat the Steelers 23-16 on what? A turnover. The only turnover in the game.
Yeah.
The Steelers are leading 13-12. There's 10 minutes left in the game at the Denver 34. Fitzgerald Toussaint fumbles. Broncos recover. They go down and they score. They end up winning the game 23-16.
Wow.
If the Steelers go down and score there, and it looked like they were going to.
Right, they were moving, right.
That game might be over.
It might be. That's amazing. And the other thing we didn't talk about with turnovers is there's all the obvious, you know, I give you the ball. But, you know, in these situations, which won't happen this week, is the fans, you know, the whole building changes. You know,
Oh, no doubt. Yeah,
no
I mean.
No question about it, positive or negative. You know, it gets quiet or boom, it just erupts, you know. And that's a big deal, you know, that emotional change. And a lot of these offensive coordinators love to take a shot right after that, too.
Absolutely, because you got them kind of on their heels a little bit. Yeah.
You know, blood's pumping, and let's take a shot, and boom, you nail it.
Then you really,
put
you
a
know, kind of
right. Mm, yeah, right.
Stick it to him a little bit.
I got one here, too, because I mentioned Warren Sharp a lot, and He has a couple indicators that are really indicative of, you know, predictive. And obviously turnovers are far and away number one. Like, that hasn't changed. But sack differential is a big one, too, which also is a product of, hey, if I'm winning, I come after you with a lead and those type of things. But the one thing I just everyone remembers John Ledyard. He moved to Tampa. Yeah. I retweeted him the other day, and I just pulled it up now.
He tweets a lot.
Does he?
He tweets more than anybody I know.
In the whole world.
Oh, my God.
I just happened to see this one and thought it was interesting, though. But this, first of all, the Steelers' sack differential is awesome this year.
Yeah.
But in terms of protection.
Well, when you lead the league in sacks and you give up the fewest sacks,
right.
Nobody's going to do better than that.
Yeah. Actually, the Rams are pretty good, too. But here's his tweet is, the nine teams that allowed the least amount of sacks this season all made the playoffs. You know, all nine. I mean, that's a big percentage. And
I'm got to protect your quarterback. You have to protect your quarterback.
And even teams like the Bears in Washington that aren't good, well, they get after the quarterback. You know, so sack differential is a big deal in both those sides, just like takeaways. It's a fraction of what takeaways is, but I think it's another one that's worth talking
about. They're negative plays, and it's difficult because, especially with a sack, you know, if you get a holding penalty, you don't give up the down.
Right. And you don't potentially fumble.
So instead of being second and 20, it's still first and 20. You give up a sack, it's second and 17 or it's second and 20 as opposed to first.
And your quarterback just took a hit.
Yeah.
Maybe the ball came loose. You know, poor left tackle's like, that's guppy. Like, there's some of that, too.
And the
TJ Watt's doing his kick. And, you know, the fact that everyone gets wound up. So, yeah, it's a big, big deal. Those are game-changing plays.
Yeah, I wrote about that last week. You know, when you look at the AFC playoff field, and again, it goes back to the defenses. The Steelers have by far the best pass rush.
Yes,
in the AFC playoffs. I mean, it's not even close.
It isn't.
And I'll say this as well. You mentioned some of those teams that gave up the fewest sacks. Steelers have played quite a few of those, including Cleveland. They had 8 sacks on Baker Mayfield in 2 games. The Browns gave up 26 sacks all season long.
People say this
Browns defense or this Browns offensive line is the number one unit in the NFL.
Yeah.
And you could make that argument.
Yeah, I think it's right there.
It's right there. And they got to him 8 times and hit him 13 times in 2 games.
Yeah. We've said this so many
times. They played
Phillip
Rivers the week before with another one of the
best lines
in
the league. The preseason number one line.
Indianapolis finished second to the Steelers in fewest sacks allowed with 21.
Still got him.
Steelers got him 5 times.
Yeah. And imagine if they called holds. It's one of those things like, you know, it's great to have Jalen Ramsey or a great corner, but you cannot throw at them, you know.
Yeah.
Or, you know, but if you have a great pass rush,
it travels,
man. And it there's no way around it. At some point, it's going to be 3rd and 6, some point, it's going to be 3rd and 7, you know. And if I can have any, I know the analytics people say draft cover men are more important to big guys.
I don't believe that at all. I don't, you can make. Again, it goes. It's the Dick LeBeau theory that we just want corners that get guys on the ground.
Right, right.
Because if we have a great pass rush, they're going to get the ball out quick.
Right, right. I mean,
whereas if you have great,
they both are chicken and egg.
Right,
but still, I want the big.
But I think it's much more difficult for a great cornerback to play, especially in today's NFL. We talked earlier in the week about all the pass interference penalties, the defensive holds, those kind of things that get called on these guys. I'm sorry, I'd rather have the better pass. I mean, the Ravens have great cornerbacks.
They do.
They don't have a great pass rush.
The Patriots last year.
Yeah.
You know, where this, you know, the Steelers and Niners the last 2 years were built on the front. You know, I mean, the Bosas and Buckners and Watts and all those guys. I'd rather build from the front back.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm team building.
I think it's easier, too.
Maybe. Plus, I mean, stopping the run still matters.
You usually, I mean, I'd have to look at the hit-miss rate with big guys who can rush the passer as opposed to cornerbacks, but I would be willing to bet that if you rush the passer well in college or you have those traits, that translates over to the NFL as opposed to cornerback play. To me, is a lot of that is scheme oriented in terms of
you can scheme around it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this guy's he's a great cornerback, but he's his own cornerback. Mm-hmm. Well, he doesn't fit our scheme.
Yeah. No. I
as
I
opposed
think
to this guy's a great pass rusher.
I don't care what else he does. Put him out there on third down, right?
Yeah.
If not more. Plus, I think there's also, I don't want to say an intimidation element, but when Aaron Donald lines up every snap, from me to you away from the quarterback.
Breathing fire. Yeah.
Right. And you're like, I got to, or Lawrence Taylor's over there.
Yeah, you're getting ready to snap the football and you're looking, okay, Watt's on my, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, Watt's over there. Well, wait, Watt's over here this time.
Right. You know? I mean, your eyes are going to go.
I usually
that
have a pretty good idea where that cornerback's going to be.
Or he just misses you three times in a row and, like, he's due to get home. On
He's hit you three times in a row, even though he didn't get the sack.
Right. You know? As opposed to, hey, that corner's really scary, or Ed Reed's really scary in the middle of the field, but he's not right next to me.
I don't have to throw the ball to him. You know, every time I drop back to pass, that guy could hit me.
And he does. And it's getting old. All right.
So, yeah, I think that is
I would build with big men.
I think that is a factor, and certainly I think the Steelers believe that as well. If you look at,
I think that front line is
a lot of high-profile top picks.
And guys like Tua, I mean, not the Tua, it's not a high pick, but, I mean, they've developed them pretty well, too, and, you know, they're doing well there. You know, and historically, they were lucky that they got a lot of third-round pick edge guys weren't as, the Joey Porters and Gildens of the world.
Can't do that anymore.
No. But the Steelers don't ignore corner as much as they used to. You know, it used to be draft a bunch of fourth-rounders, develop an Ike Taylor here and there, win with pass rush.
They didn't put an emphasis on it. I know people looked at that and said, well, the Steelers don't. They never put an emphasis on when Dick LeBeau was the defensive coordinator, guys who took the ball away in the secondary were not an emphasis. They wanted guys who got, just if you give up a 5-yard pass, that's fine. Just get them on
come
the ground.
Down and hit,
we want you to be able to tackle.
We'll create big plays with sacks and pressures, and sometimes they'll throw you one. You have to cut corner somewhere. Corner.
And, to get those guys who take the football away, to get Minka Fitzpatrick, to get, Patrick Peterson or any of that, you got to draft those guys in the top 10.
That's also the problem with elite corners and elite edge rushers. Yeah. Is, they go quick.
Yeah.
You know.
But every draft, there's usually more of the pass rushers than there are the cornerbacks.
Agreed. But I would also argue that you'll find some third, fourth round corners that are pretty darn good more than you will pass rushers.
But they're not usually he's really
good. But they're
good.
Missing something.
Yeah, he's really good, but he has hands like feet.
Right. You know? Probably true.
He's big and he can run and he can cover, but he can't catch.
But he can't catch, or he's just his own guy.
Yeah.
And you'd
rather have that than, he catches everything, but, man, he can't cover anybody.
or he's not the brightest guy and he forgets a coverage here and there, or you know what I mean? There's a wart.
We're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll look at the other playoff games. We're on Thursday now, so it's getting close here. Of course, the first games will be played on Saturday. So Matt and I will take a look at those games and the Sunday games right after this. Our ongoing coverage here on Steelers Nation Radio, brought to you by FedEx and Ford.
Nice.
You're tuned to The Drive on your 24/7 home of the black and gold. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. Our ongoing coverage here on Steelers Nation Radio, brought to you by our friends at FedEx and Ford. And Matt, let's start looking here at this weekend's games.
It's a pretty good slate.
It is a good slate of games.
Yeah.
The first game, however, of the weekend is not. That would be the Chicago Bears at New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, I think they're in big
trouble.
I think
that's going to be utter destruction.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like Kamara's going to be back. It looks like Thomas is going to be back. The Bears' D is fine, but I think Roquan Smith is out. We talked about great offensive lines. I think the Saints absolutely have one. Breeze is playing well enough, but I think that Saints D is the key.
It is. The only way that I could see that if this game were in Chicago – mm-hmm. I'd feel, maybe a little bit differently about it, making Drew Brees go outside.
Wind and weather.
He's not.
He's going to be very comfortable.
Yeah, he'll be very comfortable. I know Khalil Mack is there, but they'll do something to negate him. And
their tackles are really good.
Yeah, it's going to be a big uphill battle. I will say this, and this is something that Bill Barnwell brings up, but last season, three of the four teams favored to win in the wild card round last year lost.
Wow. That's a little surprising.
Yeah.
The favorites, not even necessarily. I mean, a lot of people say, road teams win. That doesn't shock me as much if it's a bad division winner, but the favorites lost, huh? Okay.
So it does happen.
Yeah, it does happen.
I don't
happen,
see that here, though.
Right.
I think Chicago loses this one by at least two touchdowns, if not more.
And the Bears' offense has come a long way, and some of that's real. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, Trubisky's played well.
Trubisky's played well, and Bill Lazor's taken over as the offensive play caller, and that's exactly when things change.
They started using David Montgomery more.
Right,
and,
right.
You know,
Montgomery and Robinson are getting the ball a lot, which is what you need
to do. What you need, you got to get it to your best players.
Yep, and they used to be extremely pass-heavy. They're not as much anymore. But they also, their last five games are against junk defenses, too.
I mean,
like, this is a much different test.
That's
that
the thing this year. There's so much of that. You know, people were talking about that when the Steelers were winning early.
I know.
Oh, they're 11-0, but who have they beaten? Well, they had that three-game stretch where they beat Cleveland, Tennessee, and Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
All at full strength, back-to-back-to-back.
Yeah, right.
Those were
all legit games.
Those were legit wins.
Right, right, right.
And two of those were on the road, you know, so... Yeah, you beat some cupcakes, but everybody in these playoffs has beaten the cupcakes.
There's a lot of them, and especially there's just so many bad defenses.
Yeah,
and some
that's
of
the
even,
thing. Yeah,
there's so many bad defenses.
Like, and it takes us back to what we talked about, you know, in the last segment. Steelers have the best defense in these playoffs.
Yeah, it's a
by
different
far
chore,
in the AFC. If,
sure,
the good defenses are all in the NFC.
Right. There's a,
the
right
other good defenses.
Right. Yeah, you're 100% right.
And the Rams are the I should say the Saints are one of them.
I think they're one of the top three. Yeah. I mean, I really think Steelers, Saints, Rams are probably the three best defenses in the league.
Rams at Seahawks for
this
the third go
I
round.
I think the Rams might win this game.
I don't know that they can. If Goff is not a if he's
right,
compromised, I mean it's a thumb on his throwing hand. Mm-hmm. That's massive.
It is. I don't know if he's gonna play or not.
Yeah, that's a thing.
This is all based on Rams. Faith in the defense, really, is why I'm taking the Rams. Russell Wilson and company have not played very well the second half of the season.
But their defense has played
better. But their defense has gotten better. Like, they, both sides of the ball have a tale of two seasons. Like,
yeah,
they threw the ball like crazy. They let Russ cook. And then halfway through the season, they've been running the ball like crazy. And the big reason is they're getting exclusive two high safeties. They're not allowing the big play to DK Metcalf, 70-yarders. But in the meantime, their defense got dramatically better. From they was like the worst D in the league.
The problem is for the Seahawks is that their offensive line is awful.
It is a problem.
Yeah,
it's definitely a problem. And Ramsey matches up extremely well with Metcalf, and he's done it twice this year well. And they're going to eliminate the. They're another one. They stop the run with light boxes a lot because they have Aaron Donald. I don't think there's going to be hardly any points in that game.
I think it'll be low scoring, but if it's John Wolford, forget about it.
That's asking a lot, right?
Yeah,
that's
forget
a big
about
ask.
It.
Right. I mean, Wolford versus Wilson in itself is probably enough said.
Yeah. The final NFC game of the weekend is Tampa Bay at Washington. Alex Smith questionable for this game. I guess today at practice, the backup, what the heck?
Heinicke.
Taylor
Heinicke.
Took the majority of the snaps. I would expect
this is Thursday too.
I would expect, I would expect though that Smith at least gives it a go.
Mm-hmm.
Washington's defense to me though, this is a big spread in this one. I think it's six.
I think it's like
A touchdown.
I thought it was like nine.
It's like 7.5 or something like that.
Yeah.
But Washington's defense will make life tough on them. If you look at Brady's games against tough defenses,
exactly
teams that can rush
say.
The passer, he has not played well.
No, the Bucs lost to the Chiefs, which most people do.
Yeah.
But all their other losses are against the best defenses in the league. And
at least the best ones that they faced.
Exactly. And they have a good line, but it's still, good defenses are their Achilles heel.
Yeah.
And this is a good defense.
And Brady will still chuck and duck.
Yes.
He's
deep a lot.
He sees the pass rush more, I think, than any quarterback in the league.
Yeah, probably. I mean,
it's a blessing and a curse because he feels the rush before it gets there.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times he feels the rush before it gets there, and he'll throw the football and just get down.
And he's adjusted to the Arian system as opposed to the Bucs becoming like the Patriots, stinking and dunking and welkering it up. So they have longer developing plays. He's going to get hit in this game. They go downfield a lot. I just don't know where the other side of the ball where Washington gets anything going, with or without Smith. I mean, Smith's played very poorly.
I know
he's a great story and all, but he's played terrible.
I think he will take care of the football.
Oh, yeah.
He will not put the football in danger.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that adds up to many points against that Bucs defense, although the Bucs defense has not been great.
No, it's no longer in that group,
The
top ones. And I think White's on the COVID list, the linebacker.
Yeah, that
hurts.
Had
a couple injuries.
Agreed.
And Washington, I have respect for Logan Thomas, Gibson, McLaurin. They got a couple playmakers, and their O-line's better. Their quarterback play is the worst in the postseason. Well, I mean, the Rams questionable, but still, I just don't know where the points come from.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult, and some things will have to happen, but they are at home.
They're at home. They're at home.
Not that that matters from what we talked about the previous thing. In the AFC games, Indianapolis at Buffalo.
I think Colts are in trouble. A lot of trouble.
Their defense is, we talked about it when the Steelers played them. Mm-hmm. Their defensive numbers were built on playing a lot of bad football teams.
Early season, yes.
Yeah.
And they've been pretty bad lately when they played tougher competition.
Yeah, when they played better competition, it's not been good. They're going to have their hands full. DeForest Buckner's questionable for that game.
That's massive.
Yeah.
If he doesn't, Aaron Donald,
if he doesn't play, they've got no chance. No chance.
I often reference Greg Cosell, who we have a lot of respect for. I heard him on Ross Tucker's podcast today, and he had a really good point that stuck with me is, and we noticed this when the Steelers played the Colts, they're not a dime defense. I mean, they want to play nickel. Rarely do they have four corners on the field. The Bills live in four receiver sets a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a couple injuries at receiver, but the Gabriel Davises and McKenzie's and those guys, I bet they just throw like crazy against the Colts.
Yeah, and the Colts will play a lot of zone, and I don't know that they'll give up a lot of big passing plays.
Probably not.
Because they do play that cover two shell, and, you know.
Allen will have to be patient, and maybe he doesn't get a ton of yards rushing because Leonard runs well.
And that would be their only path to victory. If he gets antsy and tries to force the ball down the field.
It's possible as the young quarterback. Yeah. But, yeah, and even the other side of the ball, the Bills' D has improved. Their numbers were really bad to start the year, and now they're mediocre. And Jonathan Taylor's running great, and maybe he has a huge game. That's possible, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But I just think the Bills' offense is humming. I just think the Bills are a much better team.
If I'm the Colts in this game, I want Taylor getting 25 carries minimum in this game. Because you're keeping Allen standing on the other side of the on the sideline. You know, you put together some 12 or 13 play scoring drives.
But now you're talking.
Now maybe he does get antsy. Well, geez, I just stood over here for 15 minutes. I gotta go make something happen.
Yeah, I think that's their path to victory.
Yeah,
it's just a tough path.
It's a tough path.
It is. The D has to have a tough. They gotta win the turnover battle.
Yeah, the game I think I want to see the most this weekend is Baltimore at Tennessee.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be a fun one. They have a little rivalry going here lately.
They don't like each other very much. If you remember the last time they played, they had the whole thing where Harbaugh went out and was yelling at the Titans players.
And
Vrabel gave it back to him, and they still talked about it after the game. It's in Tennessee. I don't know if I understand exactly why the Ravens are favored necessarily in this game. I could see if it was a pick 'em.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'm placing my hard-earned money on this game. I don't know if I might take the points.
I would have the Ravens favored, and I'm going to pick them to win. But I'm sure there's a public perception of...
I don't have to look far to see a path to Titans victory, because the last two times these teams have played, the Titans have won.
Henry runs for 160, and Lamar's on the sideline.
They can't tackle Henry.
Right, and they're forced to throw, and they can't.
Patrick Queen doesn't solve that. Henry just
they miss a lot of tackles
runs over
too.
Top of him on his way. Sure.
No, I think there's definitely a path to victory. I do think that, back to the public perception thing, everyone is the Ravens are the team nobody wants to meet, because they've run a handful of games in a row, which is great, and they are playing way better. They didn't beat anybody, and they figured some things out, and they're still a very good team in my opinion. But this screams shootout to me.
Yeah,
I mean, there's two things that stand out to me in Baltimore's favors. I think Tennessee's defense is the worst.
It's awful.
But their biggest problem is they don't rush the passer well. Well, who cares? They don't throw.
Yeah,
Baltimore doesn't throw.
And Baltimore will be more than content to throw the ball 20 times in this game.
Right. The lack of pass rush will not hurt them like it will against most teams for Tennessee. The special teams advantage is massive.
It's huge.
Yeah. I mean, if it comes down to a kick, Tennessee ain't winning this game probably. But both these offenses could put up points. I mean, they do it a variety of ways.
The thing where I think is the difference for me is that if it does turn into a shootout where they have to start throwing the football, I trust Tannehill to throw the football a lot more than I trust Lamar Jackson.
I think that's the script Tennessee wants.
Yeah.
And the opposite of, like, the Colts.
Because they could come out throwing in this game.
Oh, yeah.
And get a 14 or 21 point. I mean, they could get up on Baltimore.
Without question, which we know is the path.
Yeah, so, that's something to certainly keep an eye on, I think, in this game. But, I mean, I think that the Ravens are going to win. I just wouldn't bet it.
I hear you. I hear you on that. I mean, I have a lot of respect for Tennessee. I think they're an extremely well-coached team.
Vrabel will come up with something new, some new kind of wrinkle.
Surprise onside or something.
Yes, there'll be something there that he comes up with.
He'll be aggressive.
Yeah.
He'll be really aggressive. Yeah.
And they don't like each other.
They don't like each other. No, that's going to be a very good game. And I think I was told yesterday that the last time they played, there was close to 750 yards of offense and five punts in the whole game.
Yeah.
You know, like I think it has a chance to be a 40-30-8 type of game.
Yeah, and who knows in that situation. Again, you get into those type of games and
– Who has the ball last.
Who has the ball last. Mm-hmm. And that's not a good
– Could be.
You know, if you're the Titans and it's, you know, a tie game or you're down three and you're driving down the field, like, can Baltimore stop you? Because their defense is not
– It's not in that top tier. That's
no, everybody thinks, well, it's the Ravens' defense. And they do some things. Mm-hmm. They'll blitz you and they'll do – you know, they'll make you – they'll force some mistakes. But I trust Tannehill not to make the big mistake.
Tannehill's really good in third down, red zone, you know, getting the ball
out.
You
have to respect Henry on the play action stuff. Sure, you just have to. And yeah. A.J. Brown's a stud.
Now, I bet they hit a couple big plays against blitz.
Yeah.
You know, come and get in play action and hit it over the top, or A.J. Brown gets free. I can see A.J. Brown having a decent day. That's going to be a fun one. And I just said the Ravens can score a lot of points. I mean, they've proven that. But in a back and forth game, you got to throw a little bit.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not sure
you're going to get into some third and eights and things of that nature.
Yeah. If it's first one to 40, it's not going to be all on the ground.
Right.
You know.
No, I agree. We've been talking a lot about the Steelers and Browns.
Sure.
We don't need to talk about that one, but we do need to take a break.
Okay.
We will do that. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. Our coverage here in the playoffs brought to you by Ford and FedEx. We'll be back with the Fantasy Football Focus right after this.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
We are back, and it's time for the Fantasy Football Focus, and as we usually do on Thursdays. We didn't do this yesterday on Wednesday, but we're going to do it today. We'll go through some of the injuries.
Yeah.
We're starting to get some designations for the Saturday games, get an idea of who's in and who's out for some of these playoff games or who's questionable, that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. For New Orleans, Taysom Hill, he's dealing with a concussion. He has resumed practicing in full. Again, with the concussion, that doesn't mean that he is cleared to play yet.
Right.
But he's trending in that towards playing. That game is actually on Sunday. I said before it was Saturday. Mm-hmm. That's one of the early games Sunday. So that's a good sign for him. Willie Snead for the Ravens was limited during Thursday's practice.
That's something. Because,
yeah.
I mean, he's the veteran of the group. He's the route runner. I mean, he's not a great player. Most teams wouldn't miss Willie Snead all that much. But he's has a
The Ravens do,
them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
the Ravens do.
Yeah, he ended up being their third highest catch or third most catches
Maybe.
On the roster, something along those lines.
I would think more Duvernay then. It will be the, you know, the
and again, rookie in a playoff game. That's
right. I mean, they're
problematic.
Their three receivers of Duvernay, Brown, and Boykin have 2 years experience.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Unless you're going to run Dez Bryant out there again, you know.
I guess he'll play.
Yeah. Cam Akers does not have any injury designation going into this weekend's game against Seattle.
I think he's going to have a big – I mean, I'm not sure if he's in a big game, but he's going to have a big role. I mean, I think if they win, he has a big day.
Yeah, he has to.
Yeah, he has
One
to.
One of those running backs has to have a big day.
And I think it's Akers.
Yeah, Henderson, Daryl Henderson is on IR, so it's either mm-hmm. it's either Akers or Brown.
And Akers is much more talented than Brown.
Yeah.
I don't have a knock on Brown, but you mentioned the last segment, too. If Goff plays, he's going to have a finger issue. If he doesn't, then you got, you know.
Well, he doesn't have a finger issue. He has a thumb.
It's a thumb, yeah.
And he's questionable to play in this game.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think Akers being healthy is huge for the Rams.
Yeah, Goff actually had surgery on that thumb on December 28th.
Wow.
You know,
wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. Sean McVay said that Goff is preparing himself to play, but, man, if you – that's tough.
That is tough.
That's tough.
What's his name? I should remember his name. I thought Wolford. He didn't play horrible, and he made a couple runs here and there, and he made three or four throws. But, I mean, needless to say, it's a problem to scheme around your quarterback to that degree.
Yeah, I would agree. Mike Evans with the knee is questionable for the they can play against the Washington football team. They've labeled him a game-time decision, but he's trending in the right direction,
it's
apparently.
Good things.
Yeah, got through some practices. The Bucs are 8.5-point favorites in that game, by the way. An MRI, according to Bruce Arians, revealed no structural damage, while swelling has been minimal. So there is some swelling in there, so that's a bit of an issue. Would you play him? I mean,
I would avoid
him. I would be
for fantasy. I'd avoid him.
Yeah, I mean, you have Antonio Brown, you have Chris Godwin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to play those guys. Scotty Miller is certainly capable.
Oh yeah, I mean, their third guy wouldn't be terrible.
I might only play Evans. Like, hey, we're going to just play you on third downs, or we're going to do something. We're going to limit your playing
red
time.
Zone.
Yeah,
I think you'd be at least on a snap count.
Like, he's not running out there for 60 plays. I'm not going to do that.
And I guess even if he does play, but especially if he doesn't. Fantasy-wise, I'd be pretty interested in Godwin and Brown.
Yeah, you know, I would,
DFS
too.
Stuff. I mean, it is a good defense, but they throw a lot.
Yeah.
And they throw deep.
Jamal Adams with the shoulder.
That's a big deal for them, too.
Was left off the injury report.
Oh,
he's going to play.
Okay.
So,
He's crucial for them. If they're going to run the ball a ton, as we think they will, the Rams, he's an in-the-box guy. You know.
Yeah. He's their best pass rusher.
He's probably their best pass rusher, yeah.
Well, does a lot of stuff.
He does. Yeah, he does a lot for them.
We talked about this before the segment started. Donovan Peoples-Jones has yet to resume practicing for the for the Browns because the Browns haven't practiced.
Right.
Part of the concussion protocol,
really
he's dealing with a concussion. Part of the protocol, as we talked about with Taysom Hill, is getting back on the practice field to see how you feel the next day after you've had some physical activity.
Mm-hmm.
Their facility's closed down.
Right.
So how are you, if you're Donovan Peoples-Jones, even if you're feeling great, you don't know for sure until you actually get out there and undergo some physical activity, and you have to be checked out by the Browns doctors and the neurologists and all that stuff. I don't know how I don't see how he plays in this game.
I don't either, now that you said that before. Like, you've laid this out several times over the last couple of years since this protocol's been in, you know, you got to do this, and then you got to do this, and like you said, one of them's got to be going on the field, that's stage two or whatever, you know, step two, and I don't know the steps, but... how does he check the boxes?
Yeah, you can't. If your team isn't practicing, you can't.
And some
not only
in the league
not only can't your team practice, you can't go in the facility.
You can't go in the facility, right? I mean, how do you check any box and move to the next step? And no way does the league or doctors say, "Well, you would have passed." You know, like
right, you can't do that.
Right,
yeah.
Right. You have to take
there's
the steps.
There's a concussion protocol for a reason. It's called the protocol.
Mm-hmm. And how many times have we seen
check those boxes?
Boy, I mean it. It's pretty tight anyway.
Like, yeah.
To play the next week.
Absolutely.
I mean, every day you got
to. Everything has to go perfectly well for you to play the next week.
And he hasn't taken any steps.
The Rams activated Andrew Whitworth from injured reserve. It looks like he's going to play this week. That's a big get for them.
Yeah,
that's a big get.
Absolutely. Yeah, and much needed, really good player. I would imagine we don't see any rust or anything. I mean, he's a vet. He knows all the tricks of the trade.
Amari Cooper underwent ankle surgery. That's not a playoff thing.
But right.
Shows you that he was dealing with something down the stretch. Allen Robinson.
Amazing how often that happens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, nobody knew it. And, you know.
Yeah. Allen Robinson with the hamstring was held out of Thursday's practice. That's a big one.
Wow. I didn't know that. I mean, that's
huge. You drafted him in your...
I can always go change it. I might have to do that this afternoon. But
I would keep an eye on that. I would expect him to play.
But it must be a little more serious than just,
but
he missed Wednesday practice.
You get into the game, and all of a sudden he's, pulling up with that hammy running down the field. That's not good.
Yeah, that's not good. I think I'm going to get him out of my lineup now I think about it.
We haven't talked about the Steelers injury report yet, but Juju Smith-Schuster was held out today.
No, wasn't.
Typically he's held out on Wednesdays. That's that knee issue.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't surprise me if at the end of the season
he gets a clean up.
He gets a clean up,
yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
But he's going to play.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question about that. Taylor Heinicke took the majority of first-team reps in Thursday's practice for Washington.
Yeah, you mentioned that earlier.
That's a Saturday game.
That's a Saturday game. I also have McLaurin in my
lineup. Alex Smith didn't practice at all yesterday.
Right, right.
Today he was what you would call, I guess, limited if Taylor Heinicke's taking all the first-team or the majority of the first-team snaps.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That's problematic.
It's a big problem.
Yeah. You also have McLaurin in your lineup, right?
McLaurin and Logan Thomas. Right. I was going to use those guys up. I think I'm going to have to make some adjustments. I don't like any of that.
Yeah. How about these ones for the Bills? Stephon Diggs with an oblique is questionable against the Colts.
Okay. I thought he's going to play, though.
But Cole Beasley also listed as questionable with that knee.
I don't think he is going to play.
Right.
You know, at least what I heard people saying that were, you know, beat reporters and whatnot. And I still think they'll do a lot of four wide, and John Brown's back, and they have some, they have enough guys to do it. But maybe you lean towards the under, or, you know, I mean, those are big, you know, big deals.
The thing about that Colts defense is you attack Rocky Asin.
Mm-hmm.
Will they use Xavier Rhodes to travel with Stephon Diggs in this game?
They generally don't, I don't think. But maybe in this case you would.
Maybe in this case you would, especially if Beasley's out.
All these things are leaning towards me thinking maybe John Brown's a nice pickup right now.
Yeah, too. John Brown could be the guy.
I mean, I bet he's somewhat cheap in DFS, too. Yeah. I mean, he's not a super, you know, highly sought-after guy.
Unless you feel like Isaiah McKenzie is going to be the guy in the slot.
Well, I think he'll play a lot.
Yeah.
And he probably will get some of the slot stuff. He may even get a carry or two. I mean, it's a leap of faith to put him in your fantasy lineup. But, I mean, he's a deep guy.
Yeah. Terry McLaurin with the ankle is questionable against the Bucs.
Another reason to get him out of my mind.
Yeah. he's going to play, but he's nowhere near healthy. And if Alex Smith doesn't play, I don't feel good about that.
I don't feel good about that either. I feel like he's going to be one of those post, you know, after the season cleanup guys.
Well, we just talked about this guy, and he is out for this game against the Bills because of a concussion. That's Rocky Asin.
Oh, wow. So, I mean, he's a starter.
He's a starter, but he's also a bad starter.
Yeah, he's not such a great one. But
yeah, I mean, does that you know, I may want to – he plays typically on the right outside,
mm-hmm,
on the defensive – on the quarterback's right-hand side. The Steelers went after him a lot. Everybody
right.
went after him a lot.
Yes. He has a target on his chest for sure. Leans towards John Brown to me, or Diggs, or who, you know,
yeah.
Allen.
Antonio Gibson with a toe, yeah, that's the same thing he's been dealing with. He's mm-hmm. questionable. He's going to play.
I think he's going to play. Yeah. But maybe he doesn't have a huge snap count. He didn't last week.
Yeah. Looking here. Oh, the Titans removed Steven Guskowski from the reserve COVID list, so they'll have him back for the playoffs. So at least they've got a kicker who has kicked in.
Right. I forget the old guy, but he was questionable, too.
Yeah.
All their kickers have been bad this year.
their kicking game in general has been questionable.
Pretty poor, yeah.
Yeah. We mentioned Eric Ebron back for the Steelers. He's been activated from the COVID list.
We haven't talked about this, but I think he could have a big game.
Oh, absolutely.
It sets up really well for him.
Yeah, their safeties are all on the COVID list.
Mm-hmm.
The linebackers are not good in coverage.
Right. We did a Steeler Live video today, and Mike Pursuit and I both picked him as our X factor.
You know,
coming off the COVID list, I mean, that doesn't bother me because he wasn't a positive test. I mean, I think he just basically got a bye week.
Yeah, I agree. I think he could be a major factor in this week.
Yeah, he may be a sleeper fantasy guy to snag too.
Yeah, just calling up some more stuff here.
It looks like Kamara's playing. It looks like Michael Thomas is playing.
Yeah, I wouldn't feel. I got the Roto World top 60 rankings. We talked about your DFS stuff for week one of the playoffs, or this is actually for the entire playoffs and their estimated games played.
Oh yeah.
They have Travis Kelce as the number one player.
I get that. I mean,
there's
a big gap between him and tight end, too.
Devontae Adams, 2. Josh Allen, 3. They have Josh Allen. They have Travis Kelce playing 2 games in the playoffs. They have Josh Allen playing 4.
Wow. I would say if it's 3, it's about the same. You know.
So the Roto World thinking that the Bills are going to go to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Patrick Mahomes is 4. Michael Thomas, 5. Alvin Kamara, 6. Tyreek Hill, 7. Stephon Diggs, 8. If Stephon Diggs is going to play 4 playoff games, I'm bumping him up ahead of
really
some
guy, right?
If you go into this knowing, hey, the Bills are going to the Super Bowl,
you got to put Diggs over Hill, then.
Yeah, I would.
I mean, if they're projecting to have an extra game,
two extra games,
right?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, 9, Tom Brady, 10. Tom Brady only projected to play 2 games.
Okay.
I don't know that I'd have him 10.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm investing in that.
Drew Brees, 11. Aaron Jones, 12. We still haven't gotten to a Steeler yet. Derrick Henry, 13. There's Ben Roethlisberger at 15. Or Derrick Henry at 14. Ben Roethlisberger at 15. Mike Evans at 16. Ryan Tannehill at 17. Only projected to play 1 game.
Yeah, man, they're really high. Yeah, I guess.
How about this one?
A good chance.
Russell Wilson at 18. He's only projected to play 1 game.
They're favored, though.
Yeah, at home. Yeah. Ronald Jones at 19, Tyler Lockett at 20, DK Metcalf at 21, Mark Andrews at 22. That is tight end two. That's the difference. That's the drop off.
That's a massive one. Wow. Yeah. I would have Andrews higher than a lot of those guys, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I would too. Chris Carson, 23. Chris Godwin, 24. Robert Tonyan, 25. I might have, if you think Tonyan, because they have three games projected for Tonyan.
Mm-hmm.
I might have him ranked a little bit higher in this situation because if he's playing three games at the tight end, if he plays three playoff games.
He's going to score points.
He's going to score two touchdowns?
Yeah.
He had 11 in the regular season.
Like, I think I'd take him over Jared Cook or, I mean, he'd be my third tight end in the playoffs.
Wide receiver nine is John Brown. Or 26 and wide receiver nine is John Brown.
That's kind of sweet, too.
Deontay Johnson at 27. Emmanuel Sanders at 28. A.J. Brown at 29. Because they only think you're going to play one game.
Some really good fantasy players.
Yeah.
Just how many games do you get out of them?
Chase Claypool at 30. 31 is Marquise Brown. 32, Cam Akers. 33, Clyde Edwards.
They have Akers higher than that, too.
Hilaire. I mean,
they're probably projecting Akers to play two games.
Cole Beasley at 34.
Well, he's not going to play week one.
Antonio probably. Brown at 35.
That's not bad.
Sammy Watkins at 36. J.K. Dobbins at 37. Alan Lazard at 38.
Way low for Dobbins.
Well, they think two games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Latavius Murray at 39. That's a sneaky one.
That is kind of a sneaky one if you have a budget, if you're DFS in it.
Yeah.
Right.
In fact, I might start him this week. Because even if Kamara plays, how much is he going
to
play?
He doesn't play every snap to begin with.
Right.
They limit him, save him. It's not a bad move. That's not a bad move.
I mean, because this could be a 20-touch game out of Latavius Murray, and you're not going to get that in any other week out of him.
Probably right. It's interesting.
Jared Cook at 40, tight end number four.
Yeah.
Robert Woods at 41. Baker Mayfield all the way down at 42 is QB10.
Yeah, I don't think I want any Browns.
I don't want any Browns.
Long haul. Right.
Juju Smith-Schuster at wide receiver 20 and number 43. Corey Davis at 44.
Wow, Corey Davis had a pretty good year for that, being that late.
Well, they're saying one game.
Well, they think only one game. But
Jonathan Taylor at 45.
I mean, again, one probably game. Only thinking one game, but right.
Gronk at 46. Yeah, that would be tight end five.
Kind of sneaky. I might, especially if Evans is out, just for touchdowns.
Phillip Rivers at 47. QB 11, Jarvis Landry at 48, wide receiver 22. David Montgomery is RB 11 at 49. Again, you're getting Latavius Murray ahead of David Montgomery there because the games. James Conner at 51. Allen Robinson
daily,
is 50.
I don't think Landry's a bad daily pick, especially with Hayden probably being out.
Yeah, I mean, if you think, I mean, he did okay last
week.
Yeah, I
mean, I'm just thinking he's cheap for DFS.
Allen Robinson is 50. 51 is James Conner.
I'd be higher than that.
Yeah. Mecole Hardman is 52. Nick Chubb at 53.
Wow.
That's RB13. Devin Singletary. If you think the Bills are going to the Super Bowl, there's no way that Devin Singletary would play four games is what they're projecting here.
That adds up pretty quick.
He can't be RB14.
No, right. Some of these things don't quite add up.
Yeah.
You know, if you really think that you're getting four games out of Devin Singletary, and he's not great on a per-game basis, but...
But if he gets 50
games,
yards every game, he's going to have 200 yards. And
right.
Maybe
two catches in 50 yards, maybe falls in the end zone once in four games.
Talking cumulative here, you think.
Yeah, yeah.
Eric Ebron is 55. He's tight end six, to our point that we were talking about there.
I might bump him a little higher than that.
Mitch Trubisky is QB12 at 56. Hmm. Terry McLaurin at 57 is wide receiver 25. Antonio Gibson at 58 is running back 15. Nyheim Hines is 59 is running back 16. And Jared Goff is QB13.
Yeah,
that's a top 60.
Might not play, obviously. Right?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean... that's a much different format than the one I'm in, you know. But I like this format better, where you draft them and have them the whole duration. So because you're kind of predicting who wins and loses to that point too. It's interesting. I think they're a little light on the Ravens. I mean, and the Titans, which you can't be light on both.
Yeah, right.
But they both have a chance. I mean, that's a 50-50-ish type game. If you only get one, you lose. But
and you know that the winner is likely going to Kansas City. That's the other part of the equation on that one. So even if you get two games on it, are you going
to
get two?
Likely to get three.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Cinderella team would be great. But, yeah, good point.
So, anyways, that's it for the Fantasy Football Focus. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. Tomorrow we'll pick our DFS team
for
the weekend.
That'd be fun.
We'll do that. Our lineup last week was a major hit.
Well, Tate Murray might be on that team.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad one.
Ebron might be on that team.
Yeah, get some.
Think about that a little.
Yeah,
bit.
Have to maybe get some cheap play there. But our ongoing coverage here on Steelers Nation Radio, brought to you by Ford and FedEx. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this.
You're tuned to The Drive on your 24/7 home of the Black and Gold, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. Our ongoing coverage here on Steelers Nation Radio, brought to you by FedEx and Ford. And Matt, usually in a playoff week, I would not make mention of this, but Todd McShay sent out his first mock draft prediction.
Right.
The draft order has been set, of course, pending the playoffs. That will all change everything here. But his mock draft is getting some attention, shall we say. For some of the surprise picks.
Yes, and there's two things I want to mention if you want to buzz through it. Just because I know Todd, and the second pick I want to talk about to some degree, and then the 15th pick, I'm going to defend them because it's never going to happen, and I just listened to their podcast yesterday, and Mel was making fun of them. When we get to that pick, it's going to be – Todd basically said, I'm not happy with how that went. It's not going to happen. And Mel basically was like, what are you even doing? They kind of regretted it.
That happens when you do mock drafts. That's why I don't do mock. I hate mock drafts.
They're rough.
But he has, of course, Jacksonville taking Trevor Lawrence. No surprise there. He has the Jets at number two taking a Penei Sewell, the offensive tackle out of Oregon. We talked about that last week a little bit, that could be a possibility for them.
That's the one I wanted to discuss because knowing Todd, and he admits this right away, Joe Douglas and him played college football together, and they're very good friends. And I don't know that Douglas has told him or even knows yet, hey, we're not going to take a quarterback here.
No, nobody knows who they're taking.
Right, of course. It's still early.
Other than
the
Jaguars at one.
Right. Yeah. But Todd thinks that they're going to stick with Darnold and either trade that pick or take Sewell or one of the top receivers, something like that. He doesn't think they're going to go quarterback, that Darnold is their guy. So that's one case I believe the people in the know.
At number three has Miami via Houston, taking Devonta Smith, the wide receiver out of Alabama.
Pair him with Tua, the Bama
connection.
That
would work out really well. Four, he has a new second quarterback. He has Zach Wilson from BYU going to the Falcons.
I think Atlanta almost has to take one now at four.
At this point,
if
you're that high.
Right.
Yeah.
Brian's old.
Yeah.
I mean, think about if you were the Steelers. I mean, if the Steelers had a Falcons-like year, I think you'd take a quarterback at four. You know what I mean?
That's how you got Roethlisberger.
Right.
At five, the Bengals slide down to five, and they take Rashawn Slater, the offensive lineman out of Northwestern.
Mm-hmm. They would really want Sewell.
I don't know if they would. They wouldn't trade up to do it, though.
It's not their style.
No.
You don't trade up
to get an offensive tackle.
Right. And I don't think Sewell lasts to five.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Number six, he has the Eagles taking Micah Parsons, the linebacker out of Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
Number seven has the Lions taking Jamar Chase, the wide receiver out of LSU.
Well, Galladay's a free agent.
Yeah.
They could go so many directions. They're a tough team.
The Lions, they have a long history of wide receivers, taking wide receivers early.
Three years in a row, not working
out so well. I don't know if that would go over well.
Real quick, this section of the draft, what is that, like 6, 7, 8, 9? This is where I don't understand why Todd doesn't have a quarterback falling in one of these spots.
Yeah.
Because there's a handful of teams here that all would consider.
Well, Carolina at eight, he has taken Kyle Pitts, the tight end out of Florida.
I think Pitts is a great, that would be a great pick
they
for them.
They are not married to Teddy Bridgewater.
But they're not going to pass on a quarterback.
No.
No way.
No, Teddy Bridgewater stinks.
Yeah, I think so too.
Number nine, he has the Broncos taking Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa. The inside linebacker at Notre Dame.
Yeah, he's a smaller safety linebacker, fly all over the field type guy.
10, he has the Cowboys taking Patrick Surtain, the second out of Alabama, the cornerback. that's the first corner off the board.
First corner, yeah. Him and the VTech kid are going to compete for the first spot.
11 is to the Giants, Gregory Rousseau, the edge rusher out of Miami.
Giants could use an edge.
At 12, as the 49ers taking the second cornerback off the board, Caleb Farley out of Virginia Tech.
Right, another long.
13, the Chargers taking Sean Wade, the cornerback out of Ohio State.
See, big, I don't see that one, Todd. He's had a bad year.
Run on corners here. Yeah.
I mean, they could use a corner, but he's. I don't think he's worth the 13th pick.
Well, he may test well. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. He was on all the lists before the season.
Right. 14, the Minnesota Vikings taking Christian Darrisaw, the offensive tackle out of Virginia Tech. That's the third offensive tackle off the board. And then 15, the third quarterback finally comes off the board to the Patriots, Justin Fields out of Ohio State. No way that happens.
No way that happens, right. And I don't think Todd even believes that, like I said. I could see them trade up to 6 and taking Fields or Wilson. You know,
yeah.
They could certainly be a quarterback type of team. How about this little rumor? I don't even call it a rumor, but there's a little bit of buzz that Deshaun Watson wants traded now.
And they said today that they're not trading him.
Okay. Yeah.
They're absolutely not trading him.
Well, maybe New England because they just, you know. Like,
they're not trading Deshaun Watson.
I was really going down a rabbit hole.
They're not trading Deshaun Watson.
What are they doing?
Yeah. Right. 16 is the Arizona Cardinals taking Travis Etienne, the running back out of Clemson.
Wow. Early for running back.
It'd be early.
Good, though. But yeah.
The Raiders at 17 taking another wide receiver, Jalen Waddell, out of Alabama. Yeah. Collecting.
He's a game-time decision for Monday. He may be back for the national championship game.
Yeah. Another wide receiver at 18, Rashad Bateman out of Minnesota.
Big physical guy.
At 19, the Washington football team takes Trey Lance out of North Dakota State, the quarterback.
I'm not sure he lasts that long, it's all said and done, too.
Yeah.
If I were them, I'd do that in a heartbeat right now.
Chicago at 20 takes Elijah Moore, the wide receiver out of Ole Miss.
Okay. Smaller guy.
Smaller guy, yeah. 21, the Colts take Mac Jones, the quarterback out of Alabama.
That would make some sense, but it wouldn't shock me if they already have Stafford, Wentz, Darnold, or Rivers. I mean, if you bring Rivers back, you know, it's possible.
Yeah, I could see them running it back again with Rivers.
Mm-hmm. And then drafting a dude.
Yeah. 22, Jacksonville via the Rams take Davion Nixon, the defensive tackle out of Iowa. That's the first defensive tackle taken.
Yeah.
That never happens.
It's crazy. I've seen a lot of mocks that don't have any going this year.
Which is nuts. Yeah. That won't happen.
It won't happen. It's just a valuable position.
23, the Browns taking Zaven Collins, outside linebacker out of Tulsa.
Oh, okay. I mean, he's kind of I think he'd be probably an edge for that.
They need some edge, yeah.
Yeah. I got to do a little more homework on him. I'm not sure if he's a second-level guy or what. I wonder if they could go.
No, he's an outside backer. I think he's a
pass rusher
guy.
Type.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, Vernon's not young.
He's a free agent and coming off of Achilles.
And now that's a big injury now.
24, the Titans take Joseph Osai from outside linebacker of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
They need sack. I mean, they need somebody to rush.
He's a pass rusher, too.
24, the Jets via Seattle take Chris Olave, the wide receiver out of
Ohio State,
yeah.
Makes sense. Very, very safe pick from what I've seen, too. I mean, really good route runner. They need another one.
At 26, the Ravens, he is taking Kwity Paye, the defensive end out of Michigan. He's another one of those Michigan guys that highly touted.
Super good tester, but not super productive.
8.5 sacks in his last 16 games in college.
I would think a guard would make a lot of sense for the Ravens, too. But if you look at their depth chart, which we can do it in the offseason, all their edge are up for free agency.
Yeah.
They're bringing back nothing.
And they can't pay. I mean, they can't pay them all. Jackson's probably going to want a new contract this offseason.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, they could be really hurting at that position.
27, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers take Christian Barmore, the defensive tackle out of Alabama.
He's the one that I've mostly seen as the top defensive tackle, but borderline first-round type guy.
At 28, he has the Steelers taking Najee Harris, running back out of Alabama.
I think we're going to talk about that scenario a lot.
We're going to talk about it. There were only three offensive tackles or three offensive linemen, period, taken ahead of this spot.
Right.
That would be what would intrigue me about this, because you can get a running back in the second round. Can you get the third best offensive tackle or the top guard in the draft in the second round? Probably not.
See, I wouldn't be in the market for a guard.
Well, the next pick is Wyatt Davis, a guard out of Ohio State.
I can see that.
I mean,
most people haven't projected as a late first.
Yeah.
I just don't think the Steelers need a guard.
At 30, New Orleans taking Nick Bolton, inside linebacker out of Missouri.
Okay.
At 31, the Green Bay Packers taking Terrence Marshall, wide receiver out of LSU.
Mm-hmm. He opted out, too.
And at 32 is the Chiefs taking Darian Kendrick, cornerback out of Clemson.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense with that.
I don't think that the Chiefs are going to be picking 32nd. I just have a strange feeling about that.
I would take the field over the Chiefs.
I would take the field over as well.
One note just for Steeler fans. I think if you watch that national championship game on Monday, we mentioned Najee Harris. I think Sermon, the Ohio State running back, is probably, I'm guessing, third rounder. I mean, I think he's somebody that could be in the equation for Pittsburgh. And Bama's left tackle, who you didn't mention, Leatherwood, is potential there, too, at the end of the first.
I'm just looking here at his overall rankings. Just seeing where he usually has a top five. Oh, there we go. I'm looking in that range of.
There's a tackle out of Texas that they didn't mention that could be in that Steeler neighborhood. The Virginia Tech kid, Darisaw, that you did mention. I had never seen him going that early. I've seen him going right around the Steelers neighborhood, too.
Yeah.
And there's a chance ATN would follow the Steelers, too. I don't know if they would prefer Harris or ATN.
You got Tevin Jenkins out of Oklahoma State is a big 6'6", 320-pound
He's a really good athlete from what I understand.
You got Samuel Cosme from Texas.
He's a Texas guy.
He's a Texas guy, another big guy. And you're looking at Spencer Brown out of Northern Iowa.
Is he massive?
He's 6'7" and a half and 320 pounds.
Yeah, I think he's huge looking.
So there's some. I mean, Walker Little. There's some guys there in that second round maybe that you would look at offensive tackle. What you're not seeing a bunch of there is centers.
No, center market's a little rough, and most people have the best center as the Bama guy.
Yeah, Landon Dickerson, and he's 6'5". 344 pounds.
Yeah, he's huge.
I don't know that kind of size fits here for what the Steelers like to do with their offense or with their centers.
I don't love 6'5" center.
No, I don't love that 344-pound center. I don't love either
in terms of movement and whatnot. Right? I mean, they rave about him there. I think he's a team captain, and he's probably going to fall now because he got injured a game or two ago. Yeah. You know, he's not going to be healthy for workouts.
He has Creed Humphrey out of Oklahoma as his second guy.
Okay,
he's a little more 6'4", 315-ish.
You mentioned the running backs. And, yes, you can always find one in the second or third round, but it's not a good running back draft compared to recent years. There's a dude, Williams, that I really like in the Steeler mold from North Carolina.
Yeah, I like the North Carolina backs.
Yeah, one's a smaller, shiftier guy, and Williams is
kind of Michael Carter's a smaller guy, and Williams is the bigger
one. He's a pounder, and I heard a Marion Barber comparison. Probably a little bit better athlete than Barber.
Yeah, those guys are definitely interesting to keep an eye on. Yeah, those two Bama, or the two Carolina backs.
But, and that's probably late second, late third, or probably third, for the Steelers.
Yeah,
in that neighborhood.
Yeah. And we'll see. There'll be compensatory picks handed out here. The Steelers should get some play there with that stuff.
Yeah, I guess they probably will this year, huh?
Yeah,
they should be in the bonus neighborhood.
At least one or two.
I would think so. Yeah. Right.
So that's going to be worth watching. But we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll finish up talking about the game for today. Everything that's happening here with the Steelers and Browns. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. Our coverage here on Steelers Nation Radio, brought to you by FedEx and Ford. We'll be back right after this.
You're tuned to The Drive on your 24/7 home of the Black and Gold, Steelers Nation Radio.
And Matt, the Steelers, we mentioned that Juju Smith-Schuster did not practice today. He's dealing with that knee that's been really since week one.
Yeah, it's been
an issue.
An issue. Huh? He still had a pretty productive year. And
98 catches is 98 catches.
Right. I mean, tough through it and give him some credit.
Chris Boswell back as a full participant today.
Good.
That's a right groin injury for him. Steven Nelson back with a knee. He was sat out yesterday with a knee. Terrell Edmonds, again, a full participant with that shoulder. Not a big deal there.
Good.
But Tyson Alualu with the ankle, back full.
Nice.
As was Vince Williams with the quad.
Yeah, that's big. I think Williams is a key contributor this week, just in terms of the veteran recognition skills. And Williamson has that, too. I mean, not biting on play action too much. He's clearly a very good run defender, and that's what the Browns want to do. I think he's a big.
Don't know how much
week.
You'll see of Williamson this week.
Williamson, yeah.
Yeah.
I tend to think you're right.
The Steelers don't have to list Matt Filer or Robert Spillane on that injury list.
Okay, good point.
Because they've not been activated yet. They're actually still on the injured reserve list. But listening to the two coordinators today, Keith Butler and Randy Fichtner, it sure sounds like those two guys are going to play. And I expect that they play, they're going to start.
I would think. I mean, it sure seems like Filer sets up to go back to his left guard duties. And we had a little talk about that yesterday. And Spillane, I give him credit. I mean, he's had a pretty good year.
Keith Butler talked, when he was asked about Robert Spillane, he said, look, I watch Derrick Henry running up and down the field against teams this year, mm-hmm. and you see one guy slamming into him
yeah.
you know, throwing his body in there and stopping him cold, and that was Robert Spillane. Okay.
He said for that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
by the way, you didn't stop Nick Chubb in some of those situations last week.
I mean, he could be their next undrafted free agent, get him for nothing type guy that has a 6-year career here, you know?
Could he
line up next to Bush next year or as your third guy in a rotation?
At least he's back as your third guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's done enough for that, and he's a darn good special teams player.
That too. Do you think he's more athletic than Williams or Williamson, just in terms of range, speed? I mean, he's not Bush. I mean, clearly they're lacking at that position.
I don't know that he is. I know he's more athletic than Tyler Matakevich was.
Yes. Yeah, I think so too. I think he's probably equal in space to the other two.
Yeah. He's longer and leaner. I know.
He is.
That, yeah,
he's a different body type than those guys.
So it gives you a little bit extra in terms of coverage because of that length.
That length against tight ends and whatnot, too. Yeah, that's a good point. Speaking of tight ends, one thing I think that I would do if I were the Browns would be a lot of double and even three tight ends if Bryant could play. Do we think he's playing or not?
I don't think he is.
I was thinking that more yesterday before I heard that.
I mean, you're rushing a rookie back to play him again. He'd been out with COVID.
I mean, they use a lot of tight ends to begin with, but I would even ramp that up and try to get Njoku and Hooper and I was thinking Bryant against heavier Steeler defenders. You know, it just because I think it's a tough time in the passing game.
The problem with that is, you know, when you go to a nickel, when you get the Steelers to go to a nickel,
mm-hmm.
you're taking Alualu off the field.
Yes.
And Alualu has played very well this year.
It's a good point.
Are you going to be able to run the ball as well? Mm-hmm. When you've got Alualu, Hayward, and Tuitt in the game, mm-hmm. with both of the, you know, with the outside linebackers, I don't know.
Yeah, that's I don't know what that answer is. I mean, also when you get nickel though, you get more diverse blitz packages, things like that.
True.
You know,
yeah.
Hilton in particular factors in that way.
I don't know if there's a good answer to that.
Yeah, I don't either. Now that the linebackers are healthy, it's a nice advantage for the
Steelers. I mean, I think you can get them into nickel package and throw against the linebackers.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, you know, you're getting Hilton on the field, and you never know when he's going to come buzzing your quarterback.
And their third receiver isn't very good.
And they got issues there.
Player out there.
I know in the game last week, and people were, as they always do, commenting, well, how did the Browns keep getting a wide receiver matched up on
this happens
on,
every
on a
defense,
linebacker?
By the way, folks, just side note.
To what we were just talking about, if the Browns come out in a double tight end package,
mm-hmm.
the Steelers
one
are
back, two tight ends.
Yeah, the Steelers personnel. Are going to keep their base defense on the field.
Yes.
The Browns then detach one of those tight ends and put him out wide of the wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
You split him out to put him on the boundary.
Mm-hmm.
Now if you're the Steelers, you say, okay, do we want our linebacker then traveling out with the tight end?
And you're also telling the world you're playing man coverage then.
Exactly.
And you're getting him out of the box to defend Chubb.
Right.
You know.
So in that situation,
that's why you trade up for Bush.
You split your linebacker out, and he ends up covering a wide receiver who they then throw the ball to.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, in a way, there's no answer.
Right.
I mean, they're going to cover somebody. And
the Steelers do this, by the way, to people, too. How quickly we forget Chase Claypool down the middle of the field against Philadelphia mm-hmm. early in the season. That was because Ben Roethlisberger said, oh, if I stack these three guys to this side and put Claypool on the inside, he's going to get the linebacker.
Right, exactly. I
mean, somebody has to get the linebacker.
That's the value of Bush. Because when he gets in that bind, as offensive coordinators so often do, that's their job, he can compete a little better. You know,
yeah.
He can run with Juju of the world.
It's
still not perfect.
Yeah.
But then they run on you. I mean, there's still, unless you have a whole team of Bushes and Derwin James that can do everything.
Well, wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, and the Steelers have a better group than most. You know, I mean, they're all first-round picks on that side of the ball, and you know, they have better athleticism than most teams.
But it's going to happen. The way you defeat that as a defense you pressure the quarterback.
Yeah,
can't allow that wide receiver or tight end to get down the field on your linebacker. Mm-hmm. If he's 20 yards down the field, he's probably open.
You didn't get up.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's where that's the failure in the play. The failure in the play is not getting that matchup because that's going to happen. The failure in the play to defend it is to not get to the quarterback and make him get rid of the ball before he wants to.
Right. And then there's like the Kelseys of the world that are – or even like an Ingram who's not a great player. But if they come out in what they call 12 personnel, a back, two tight ends, and one of them's Ingram or Kelce, well, you better be a nickel then.
Right.
You know, because those
it's
guys
are – It's the same thing for the Steelers
it's
this
the
year.
Same thing for the Steelers. That's
when
why
Ebron's
they got Ebron
on the field,
right.
that's, you cause
you
that problem.
You should count him as a wideout.
Yeah.
As a defense. But then there's – to me, Gronk and Kittle were the ones that have no answers for.
Right.
Because they're really as good of receivers as the others,
and
they're
block.
Tremendous blockers.
Yeah.
So there's no answer for them.
Yeah.
It's just the way the world
it's
works.
Going to there's going to be a time in this game on Sunday where the Browns get a linebacker matched up on one of their the Jarvis Landry will have a linebacker on him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's going to happen.
For sure. So will Juju.
And everybody's going to complain about it.
And so will Juju. And I'm sure if you watch whatever the NBA game is on tonight – at some point, a guard.
Somebody's
going to
switch,
center,
yeah, and right, they're going to post him up, and you
right,
know that's
how the world works.
Yeah,
that's why these offensive people design the stuff they do. Right.
Yeah. On the Browns side of things, again, this was an estimation because they weren't able to practice for a second consecutive day. So, again,
how do you know? Right,
you don't know.
Right,
but they listed Jack Conklin as limited today.
Yeah, he's been fighting something for a while now.
That's a knee. They listed Myles Garrett with the shoulder as a full participant again. These are estimations. Mm-hmm. Kendall Lamb with the illness, the backup offensive tackle, was a full participant. Jarvis Landry with the hip, a full participant. Donovan Peoples-Jones, who we talked about earlier in the show in the fantasy segment with that concussion, did not practice.
Yeah, that seems unlikely. That was a good point.
I don't.
He's a returner. He's a big play guy.
Yeah, they use him a lot. Sheldon Richardson with the neck was listed as limited. MJ Stewart, the cornerback with the calf, was limited. Guard Wyatt Teller with an ankle was limited. Cornerback Tavarius Thomas with an abdomen was a full participant. And center J.C. Treader with a knee listed as limited.
And my hunch is Teller – I want to talk about the interior of their offensive line just for a minute. I mean, my hunch is Teller and Treader both play.
They're playing,
They played last week.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can list them whatever you want. They didn't have a practice today. We know Betonio's out. I should know this off the top of my head, but – I think their backup guard is out, too.
He is, yes.
And I forget who that is off the top of my head. But they're going to be playing basically a third-string guard over Cam Hayward.
Yeah, Nick Harris is the guy that they want to use there, and he's out.
Mm-hmm. And even Hubbard's out,
yeah.
Right?
So you're looking at either Blake Hance or Michael Dunn.
Which I know that's why I don't know their names,
because
I know nothing about them.
Unless they want to try to kick Lamb inside and play him in there because he's got more experience.
Right.
But then you're taking a tackle and moving him to... I mean, he's a taller guy.
Right. I mean, Cam's such a good bull rusher.
And that's the problem. You know, you're not lining him up against Joe Blow from Kokomo,
which is what you
did last week. You know, if you're playing the Steelers from last week, this is not a big deal.
Sure.
You're playing the Steelers from this week, he's going to block Cam Hayward.
Exactly.
So, which tells me that
no matter what. But
you would think that Treader is going to be offering a lot of help to that side.
Has to.
Just
and
absolutely has
Teller's,
to.
You know, everyone raves about Teller, and he's a good player, and he'll do battle with Tua well, I'm sure. But he's not 100% either.
Yeah. There'll be times where Tua puts him on skates. And
he did it a few times.
He did it a few times last week and shoved him back into the quarterback.
I mean, Tua has double-digit sacks. There's not many people in the league that can say that about
him. And this is, again, the reason why I don't think if I'm the Browns, I want the Steelers in their base. Because I've got a Lulu
on
Treader
matched
up, and I can't help.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm the Browns, I just talked myself into this. If I'm
the
Browns,
right. So
I want the nickel on the field.
Yeah, but that means you're putting a lesser skill guy out there. You know,
true.
Like if you pick the five best Browns non-quarterback O-linemen, three of them aren't wideouts.
Yeah.
But I'm with you now. I mean, I think getting a Lulu off the nose – has a lot of value this week.
Yeah, because otherwise Hayward's going to destroy your day.
Because you can't help him as much. Right. Absolutely. If they put the tackle at guard, Cam's going to get under his pads.
Oh, he'll just pick him up and throw him into the quarterback.
And just, you know, low to high.
He may do that regardless.
I don't know who the other guards are or what their strengths and weaknesses are.
He might be the best bull rusher in the league.
Yes. Those words almost just
He is heavy-handed. He is strong.
And he just drives
and he's
you
rested.
Behind. Yeah, exactly.
You know, he was not happy about having to sit last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He wanted to play.
Wow.
And so, that would not be good.
Oh, I think he might be the MVP of the team this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could
nice.
See.
Yeah, the more I think about that situation.
It could be bowling for quarterbacks.
And that's a type that Mayfield does not deal with well either.
Pressure right in his face because he can't see.
And they're long guys that disrupt the lanes. And, I think it's another reason to keep Alualu. It's just that interior
the push
pressure,
up the middle. Yeah.
Right, and him not being able to see so well. I may even ask, and teams do this anyway, I think it's really important that the edge guys don't rush past the quarterback, even if it means...
I was just going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Mayfield, when he rolls to his right...
Which he prefers to do.
...is rolling to throw.
Yes, right.
Mayfield, when he rolls to his left, is looking to run.
Yes, you're right.
He doesn't want to stop and reset. He doesn't stop and reset.
He'll do that well.
Yeah, he won't throw back... If he does throw, he's throwing back across his body.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to do that either. So he's going to run when he breaks to his left.
But if you don't let him out, and if that means TJ and Highsmith,
you get a pinch.
The ball a little slower and are a little more conscious of that, he's going to have a lot of big people and a lot of long arms disrupting himself. That's when he gets passes batted down. That's when he fumbles a lot.
And they'll try to move the pocket for him and do those kind of things.
Oh, yeah, they do a lot of that.
But
and also, rolling to your right means you're rolling towards defensive player of the year, basically, you know?
Yeah. Maybe you're not blocking Hayward. You're not double teaming Hayward then too.
No, you're probably not.
If you're rolling that pocket that way, and if he beats the guy, now you're in trouble.
Sure. I mean, I guess that's also Hayden's side of the field. Maybe you try to roll right a lot so you don't have to double cam, and you can throw at that corner. But then you're running right into TJ.
You're running into TJ, and if he beats your guy off the snap, now you've just run into TJ.
Exactly. I mean, then you're going right at the strength. Wow. Yeah, I think it's a long week.
There aren't a lot of good answers.
No, there really isn't. I mean, you could talk yourself into all of them. Yeah, let's get Alualu off the field. And then here comes Hilton.
Here
on
comes
the track,
Hilton on a corner. Right. If you're going to roll to that right side all the time, well, here comes Hilton. Blitzing off that right side.
Who's my third receiver? I'm trotting out there that I'm so excited about. Yeah, there's no Odell. Right.
Yeah. The one thing that teams have done against the Steelers when they're doubling Watt in those kind of situations, they usually have a tight end there to chip or something like that, is leaking him out into the flat.
Yeah.
And that's gotten the Steelers a couple of times there in the last few weeks where you leak the tight end out. If I'm the Steelers, you can't let that happen.
No. But I bet they hit you. I mean, I bet they get a first down or two on that on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's a tough thing to defend.
It is because your linebacker's in coverage, and then he's got to get to that sideline quickly.
And that's kind of where you miss Bush too.
Yeah,
there's been times
he shuts that down before it turns into a 10-yard gain.
Just gets there quicker. Yeah. I mean, just closes on it. And I think Williams and Williamson read it fine. They just don't have the foot speed.
Yeah, you just can't vacate the middle of the field though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
like when the play's been totally diagnosed. The ball's in the air. It's headed towards that tight end.
If you're in a zone, that's just gonna happen.
It's gonna happen.
If you're a man to man, that it shouldn't happen as much. Mm-hmm. But
and maybe Edmonds creeps down on man coverage against tight ends a little bit more. But such is life. I mean, these are 12, 15-yard plays we're talking about. I mean, they're not gonna win the game on.
Would you play more man or zone against the Browns?
Hayden being out doesn't change my opinion a ton.
Yeah.
But I lean a little more towards zone.
Because you don't want Chubb breaking the line of scrimmage and all your defensive backs are 20 yards downfield.
I don't love the tight end matchup.
Yeah, I don't either.
But their receivers don't scare me.
Yeah, I mean, if Edmonds is on the tight ends, I got no problem with it. But
and Baker as a runner wouldn't prohibit me from playing man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I'd mix it up.
Yeah, I probably would too.
Yeah.
Even though, Higgins is kind of a speedster.
Yeah, I mean, he's good.
Bigger guy, but... Yeah, it should be interesting.
Likely to play, right?
Yeah, Melson should be fine.
Yeah, good.
So, going to be an interesting matchup. I don't know that there are any real good answers for the Browns, and we'll see what kind of tactician that Alex Van Pelt is. Making in-game adjustments, those kind of things. But
I mean, there's a chance that he's going to throw something at the Steelers that they haven't seen.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's likely to happen, I would think.
Yeah, I would be ready for anything if I'm the
practiced.
Steelers. Yeah, tough to...
And then there's that.
Right. Hey, remember that play we worked on six weeks ago? Let's use it this week.
Yeah, he's over there masterminding. He's going to be calling the plays, but Well, we haven't got the chance to practice it yet.
Yeah.
Well, there's that.
That's going to do it for our show today. We'll be back again tomorrow with our picks, our DFS lineup, all that good stuff, all the final injury report for the week. But for my partner, Matt Williamson, for Jacob here on site keeping us on the air, I'm Dale Lally. We want to thank, of course, FedEx and Ford for bringing us this coverage as well. And we want to thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.